This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. So, first of all, I would like to take a moment, since I've been off sick for a couple of weeks, to wish everyone a happy new year. Here we hold the keys to the future for people around the globe. At the People Speak, we've spent the better part of the last 2 years showing that anyone can make a difference, introducing people from across the globe that are making a difference, changing the face of what we have been conditioned to believe is the truth. We can make a difference by presenting these people that expose the story behind the face of America and the world today. Before I start, I want to take a moment to thank David Swanson for hosting the show when I could not. I'm deeply indebted to you, David. Thank you so much. To Lindsay, Noah, Mystic Maiden for the tremendous work they've done on the new and updated website. And for those of you that have not been there, please visit www.thepeoplespeakradio.org. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate you. Mystic has helped to guide us in new technological paths and a supporter of our dear web host, Lindsay. My thanks to Sue, who's always up for bailing us out of a problem with taping at the last minute, and the wonderful admins, especially Political Doctor, who was formerly Love Doctor. And above all, I'd like to thank the producer of our show, whose tireless work and dedication to a peaceful resolution to conflict has put him on a path of honor in the field of activism and radio. Mike, thank you. Tonight our guest is Dries Temsimami, author and founder of the SOS Morocco. Hi, Dries. It's a pleasure having such a dynamic man, and I will unfold how much you have done throughout the show. Welcome to the People Speak.
Good evening, Basma. Thank you for having me tonight.
That's a very interesting name. Is it fully Moroccan, Dries?
Yes, it is. Actually, in Arabic, it's pronounced Idris, and in Morocco, we have a version of that name, and so it is Dries. And the meaning of it in Arabic is actually the teacher, the one who teaches.
Yes. I wondered. I knew that there had to be a root, and that's what I wanted to know, because it's an unusual name, and it's very nice, very pleasing to listen to. In the year 2000, you took old forms of the traditional distribution and you radically transformed them, and you titled it DNA marketing. Dries, what exactly is DNA marketing?
Well, let me start by saying that traditional marketing is very much focused on the retail industry, what we call the B2C or business to consumer. There is very little that has been documented on business to business or industrial marketing. The difficulty in that is that there are products that you can actually see, smell, touch, or taste. They have no shape or color. And so to market such products is very difficult. The theory of DNA marketing is basically based on attributes that exist in invisible products, such as our DNA. We all have the basic or the same fundamental genes that make us human, but yet we have different colors, different shapes, so forth, so on. Same thing with products. There are certain things that are hidden within products such as trust, advice, services, yet there are certain things that make them different, and that is where the DNA theory comes from. It's based on four elements, which is awareness, differentiation, esteem, and relevance. And those are the four items that I talk about in my theory.
Well, that's a very interesting concept. I come from the old school of marketing and training. For many years, I was involved in training in many industrial, some of the more industrial areas, and I just found this to be very fascinating. I like the idea that that you are seeing and you're showing the world that this is definitely probably the greatest gender gap in the history since probably rock and roll, isn't it? The marketing techniques, the fact that we are dealing with a cyber reality that is existent and is the core of our society right now, and yet none of it, and we can't actually see, taste, or feel it. And so how do you sell something like that? I just found that to be quite fascinating. You also have distribution plans for something like that. How do you factor in distribution in DNA marketing?
Well, I think when you have products, again, that are invisible, we're dealing with distributions as well that are, in the sense, digital. Today, there is a phenomena, we call it the Web 2.0, very much a social networking type of internet. People are meeting online. Some of them are building digital emotions. I'm sure you've heard of cases where teenagers or even adults have had even depressions or psychological issues without even or ever meeting the person they were with online. Again, the distribution itself is digital. The product is invisible, yet people are willing to pay for such an experience. And this is where we move into. Again, the day somebody figures out a way to digitize logistics and to allow people to actually have a physical taste or physical feeling, a touch, without leaving their environment through virtual reality or some kind of sensors, then we will be in the third phase of what we call today the Internet 2.0 or Web 2.0. And this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing more and more of people developing digital relationships and digital emotions. So the distribution and the products are all virtual, yet the people today are paying for these products and services online.
Well, I think it's fascinating, and I absolutely agree. I love the fact that you call it a digital emotion. That's just an unbelievable concept. As a matter of fact, I was watching a documentary about artificial intelligence the other night, and they had addressed many of these issues, which I found to be, a little bit frightening, if you want to know the truth. But in fact, we are having societal interactions on the internet, which brings me to an interesting to your SOS Morocco. Is this part of that kind of idea that you have for the DNA marketing, where you are marketing a digital emotion over the internet for Moroccans?
Well, let me answer you in two parts. I'll first tell you how the whole idea of SOS Morocco was born. And second, I'll talk about how today the internet is playing a strong, it's being used as a strong platform in the political arena. So first, let me tell you that a group of friends that have never met, only through the internet, but never met physically, watched a video that exposed the horrible themes of child prostitution and sex tourism in my home country where I was born, in Morocco. It was a French documentary. And as watching it for the first time, I felt the rage and the shame of what was happening. As a matter of fact, it was just a surprise to me that such a thing was taking place back home for me. And it just happened that I had built a forum, an online forum, which is a virtual traditional Moroccan village online, where for the last 3 to 4 years people have got together and discussed topics, including politics, sports, social topics, so forth, so on. And I posted the link of this video on YouTube, and these folks watched it as I did and had the same emotions about the video and the issue that was taking place. So we started discussing it online, and we started talking about what we're going to do about it. Next thing you know, SOS Morocco was born. And it was born with the idea that we were going to raise awareness first and tell the world that we were not going to stand by or stop and watch this taking place, that we wanted the world to know that we did not accept nor agree that this is taking place. So a few months later, literally 3 months later, we had our first meeting in Chicago. It was kind of a central location for everyone. And we met for the first time. And we had our first meeting. We created the board of directors. We recruited the volunteers. And today, SOS Morocco stands very strong. We have about 300 volunteers. We have posted about 6 videos on YouTube that are getting a lot of hits. And we have created so much awareness that other organizations, local organizations in Morocco and international organizations around the world have contacted us, and we have now built alliances to fight against this horrible crime or a horrible, I would say, wave of sex tourism that is coming to Morocco from Asia and around the world. So that's one. Second, to answer your question as well, as far as is SOS Morocco part of this strategy, I can tell you that the internet can play an extremely powerful position into the political arena. We are seeing today politicians, including in the elections, the coming up elections, posting their videos and their speeches on YouTube. There isn't one politician running today that does not have a website and that is recruiting votes and raising awareness about their what they stand for. So for sure, more and more, the internet is not only a very inexpensive channel, but it is a powerful one, because on a click of a button, you could reach millions of people around the world. And I don't need to tell you that. I think with your radio station, you have proven that. I think today, tonight, we have listeners from around the world that are listening to us talking about this topic, and we could not do that without you.
Absolutely. Excuse me. I apologize for my cough to all of my friends, listeners, and to Dries. Dries, you created a promo clip for our show, and you uploaded it on YouTube. Thank you, first of all. This kind of powerful imagery and is exactly what you've been talking about and how you became involved in this area. Have you had any, like, United Nations support for, because I know that one of the things that many of our guests, including former Archbishop Desmond Tutu, it works with an issue called Invisible Children, and what they do is they document, they're trying to get all children's live births documented, because as we speak, there are over 1 million live births a year that are undocumented, and these children, when they disappear into human trafficking arena, we end up losing them because we never had them in the first place. I wonder, do you know anything about this Invisible Child program? Is that part of the connection that you're working with to end this unbelievably horrible travesty that is happening to the children of Morocco and the world?
I'm not familiar with the particular topic, but I would like to talk about something that goes along the way And let me just say the following. We are all familiar with the sex trafficking, the children trafficking and the sex tourism taking place in Asia. We all know that globally the attention has been focused in that part of the world. What has not been discussed widely in the channels, in the media channels, is that after the tsunami crisis and the disaster, a lot of that traffic, the sex tourism traffic and the children trafficking, has moved to other countries around the world. It has moved to my home country, Morocco, as well as some part of Latin America, and even part of Europe. The most impacting parts have been actually my home country. And the reason why is because it, and even though the word is awkward to say affordable, but it is an economy where not only the people, there is a lot of poverty, and sometimes families even accept the situation just to get a few dollars. But for the tourist, to go and spend a month in Morocco is extremely cheap. Now let's talk about the consequences, and let me step back and talk about my other country, home country, which is the United States. I've been living in this country for over 20 years, and I watch the news, and what I see is that there is a lack of awareness and sensitivity around global issues, issues in emerging markets, in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America. We have a mentality, and I consider myself an American, we have a mentality that if it's not happening in my neighborhood, I am safe. We have a mentality of if it's not happening in my country, then I'm fine. Now, we found out in 9/11 that that's not the case, that things that we do internationally, the wrong decisions or the wrong politics can hurt us in the long run. Now, let's connect the two. An abused child, a sexually abused child, is a potential terrorist in the future. And I see a very clear linkage between the two. Today, the terrorists, the recruits, are clearly poor, uneducated, and traumatized young children or teenagers that have no hope for the future. They are the target of recruits, of terrorist recruits. So I will not be surprised that a child, an abused child, at an age of 8 or 10, could become a potential walk-in human bomb when that child is 20 years old in my hometown here in Miami or New York City again. So we have to have a global view, and we have to be sensitive, and we have to start caring about what's happening outside our country. We could be spending a lot less money in airport security and a lot less money in some of the programs today if we only stop some of these human crimes, which is abusing children in foreign countries that potentially will want to take revenge as they grow older. So I see a linkage between the two, and I also see how some of the activists are trying to raise awareness here in the United States and in the UN so that our government can start doing something about this. So one thing that I am actually proposing currently is, why do we publish a list of pedophiles and sex abusers in our communities so that they don't move and live in our neighborhoods, yet we don't share the same list with immigration so that these folks don't leave the country or they don't enter some of the countries, knowing that if they abuse a child in a foreign country, is it the same if they abuse a child in my own neighborhood? The impact is
so,
the same.
So, Dries, let me get this right, Dries. You're looking to have a central networking or housing area where you can post pictures of international pedophiles as well as just as like, say, some of the local pedophiles that we have. Is that what you're looking to do?
Correct, Basima. I mean, today you could go on the Internet and find out if there is a sex offender or a pedophile living in your neighborhood. As a matter of fact, it's the law. Yet the same person, we're trying to not have that same person living in our neighborhood, is allowed to board a plane and go and abuse a child on the other side of the Atlantic. Now, we don't care as much because it's not happening in our neighborhood, yet we are living in a global world, a global economy, a global social network, and that same child will end up in our own country doing damage doing a horrible crime because it's not something that these children forget. They grow to live with that all their life.
This is really quite profound. I have to agree with you. I guess I know, having children and grandchildren, that we do know every sexual predator in our neighborhoods. There is a guy that lives less than a mile from where my granddaughter lives, and we are constantly on the internet watching this. But you're absolutely right. We allow these sexual deviants to travel around the world and prey on children from other nations, and I can absolutely see the ramifications of this in the future. Have you got any kind of support, Dries, as far as I said, you know, things like United Nations? The claim is that they have these protective agencies for children. But have you approached them on any level as to this kind of housing arena for pedophile names?
Well, we are in touch with several organizations. The main organization today who's doing a lot of work in this space is EPAC, and we are in touch with them as well. There is a reactive approach, as I saw it. Today there are networks, international networks, to report pedophiles and to report sex tourism crimes. It exists in Europe, it exists in Asia, as well as in the United States. Africa is still lagging behind with Latin America. But what I'm proposing is a proactive approach. We don't want to report a sex offender, a pedophile, once the crime is committed. What we want to report is the arrival of these pedophiles. Ideally, stop them from leaving the country. And if they do leave the country, trace them and follow them. Or let the government of a country like my home country, Morocco, block these people from entering once they identify themselves at the immigration or at the customs. So I believe that a proactive approach, the one that exists today, is reactive. It's an after-the-fact type of approach.
Exactly.
I'll
be quite honest with you. I mean, you know, we have all heard of the Thailand connection, the Asian connection to child pornography and pedophilia. I'm surprised that such a magnitude of this exists in Morocco. I don't know. I found that to be very interesting. It was very foreign to my thinking.
Well, let's talk about an important topic now. The topic of culture. You will not get a lot of the coverage from traditional culture-based countries. Morocco is an Arab Islamic country. The fact that a crime like a sex tourism crime or a child sex abuse crime is not something that's going to surface very quickly. There are taboos, cultural taboos, there are religious type of conservatism, and this is not something that is not going to be widely discussed in the streets or in the media. Recently, in the last few months, the local government has done a lot to make progress in this space. There have been three cases that actually were reported to one Canadian, one Irish, and one French. These are three pedophiles that actually were caught with children and were prosecuted and jailed. While the issue in Asia has been going on for a long time, and the society there is a lot more open to these kind of issues and to discussing these issues in the family space or the media, other countries it would not be as easy to actually get the word out. So, being in the United States, we have done a lot of progress in raising the awareness, because obviously we can speak about the issue internationally, but we need to do a lot of work locally to allow the families actually to step out and report these cases as they happen.
Well, I think this is just amazing, the work that you're doing. First of all, the fact that you are bringing out, as you said, a very highly controversial cultural issue. Have you had any repercussions because of this, Dries, in Morocco?
Not at all. Not at all.
Good.
I think we have worked very good with the local authorities. We have worked very good with other organizations. As a matter of fact, we are helping the local government and the local authorities, as well as local organizations. The fact that we are not in Morocco allows us to have a wider view. As you know, the farther you step from an issue, the more you can see the dimension of the problem. When you're in the ground and you're facing these problems, sometimes it's difficult to deal with them. We have the opportunity to not only be here in the U.S. and have access to technology and to the media, so forth, so on. But we have been very lucky to get in touch with global organizations that have helped us out. We have not made good progress, and we need to start working with the UN and with UNICEF and some of the larger organizations. And hopefully through your channel and other channels, they will hear our voice and give us a chance to actually discuss these issues and allow us to use their platforms to get the word out. So we are hoping that the more we speak out, the more help we're going to get.
Well, you certainly have found an arena of staunch supporters with the People Speak Radio. Tonight we're speaking with Dries Tem Samami, and you can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or by going to our site, www.thepeoplespeakradio.org. You can also go there and listen to our past shows. We've had some incredible guests and have discussed issues such as these that are prevalent to today's society. We're going to be accepting phone calls shortly, and the toll-free number in the United States and Canada is 1-888-228-4494, as well as questions from our virtual auditorium. Please feel free to call. The telephone number, again, is toll-free, 1-888-228-4494. And when you call, please remember to keep your questions brief. Dries, briefly before we go, we're going to be breaking in just a minute, but I do want to touch base on a couple of your other projects, especially your book, Rewind. That is a fascinating name. Can you tell us briefly about Rewind?
Yes, well, it's an emotional topic for me. Rewind is the story of my departure from Morocco and arrival here in the United States, and what I went through to actually achieve my dreams and goals. Briefly, it's the story of a 17-year-old kid that left home misunderstood by his society. I was born with attention deficit disorder. I did not do well back home in Morocco, and so I had to seek opportunities somewhere else. And I came to this country with $200 in my pocket and a one-way ticket as a tourist, and spent a good amount of my first month here in this country, homeless in the street. Living literally on a budget of $1 a day, which only got me back then a bag of chips and a can of Coke. And that Rewind talks about that and talks about what I had to go through to get to where I am today, where my only hope is to help others and succeed, as well as raise awareness about issues like sex tourism.
And why did you call it Rewind?
Well, basically, back in 2004, where I would say I got to a point where I felt that I had arrived to where I wanted to go with my career and with my personal life. It was my birthday, December the 22nd, and I looked back and recalled the experience itself. It's so painful that I don't think about it much. But that day I thought about it too much, and I started writing. And the next thing you know, the 50 pages I wrote that day became close to 200 pages a year later. And so I recalled my entire experience into a poetic biography, which I end up calling Rewind.
Oh, sounds wonderful. I love that, a poetic biography. As a writer, I'm very attracted to that, and I was very attracted to the title. Dries, congratulations on your book. And the book is Rewind, and if I'm not mistaken, you can get it on Amazon.com. For those of you that are interested, is there any place else that they can get this book, Dries?
Barnes & Noble, Books & Books, literally anywhere where they sell books. If they don't have it in stock, they can just give the name, and it will be brought to the bookstore.
Thank you very much, and that name is Rewind. We're going to be taking a break right now, and we'll be returning in just a minute. So if you have any questions for Dries, please feel free to gather your thoughts together. This is a very powerful, dynamic topic, and I think that it stirs my emotions. I don't know about anybody else, but it certainly stirs my emotions. Thank you very much. We'll be back in just one moment with Dries.
We invite you to a new International Politics Lobby 8, a chat room on PalTalk, the world's largest online community with over 4 million users. Talk or text to people from all over the world. Participate in discussion and debate about politics and other issues. Or just sit back and watch and listen. Open 24/7, a new International Politics Lobby 8 in the Social Issues Politics category on PalTalk.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. Economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of science, spirituality, activism, politics, literature, healing, entertainment, and education. Make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
Maybe you and me.
Welcome back to the People Speak Radio, everyone, www.thepeoplespeakradio.org, where you can look at our future guest introduction as well as listen to our archives. Tonight's guest is Dries Tesfamani. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's kind of a tongue twister there. You've got a lot of M's in there, Dries. We have a question here from one of our audience members, Dries, for you. And the question is from Brahim in Boston, Massachusetts, would like to ask, what are the Moroccan immigrants in the U.S. doing to help SOS Morocco?
Well, we had an overwhelming response to our call for volunteers. As a matter of fact, when we our first week, we had more volunteers than the task that we had at hand to get done. So the community here in the U.S., the Moroccan-American community here in the U.S. has been extremely supportive. It's a very emotional topic to most of the people I've talked to. Everybody wants to help. So we need to take it a step at a time. Our agenda is clearly first to raise awareness, make sure that the world knows that we will not accept this to happen in Morocco or around the world. As a matter of fact, our voice goes or is much louder than just say no to sex tourism in Morocco. We want the world to know that we do not accept this anywhere in the world. It is a crime, and we must stop it, and it has ramifications in the future. So the support has been overwhelming here in the U.S. and around the world. I mean, in the Moroccan community in Canada and Europe, everybody wants to help. As I said, we have over 300 volunteers, and our first phase is to raise awareness. Our second phase is to start working with the local organizations and organize an event in Morocco where we will invite international media and artists that do care about this issue and do a free concert and a free or an open forum for journalists and activists to come to Morocco and say no to with us to this crime.
Well, that's a wonderful project. That's very inspiring. Dries, can you talk to us about El Qaria, which is, well, I'll let you explain it, and perhaps you can also tell our listeners, I know what El Qaria means in Arabic, and perhaps you can explain to our listeners what El Qaria means and about ElQaria.com.
Well, I am a diehard marketing person. I go to sleep and wake up thinking marketing, and I have experimented with several theories in my career. The first one, as you know, was DNA marketing. The second one I did a few years ago was the art of marketing. And the third one, which is most recent, is about 4 years, is what I call cultural marketing. And / emotional marketing. What does it mean? I believe, again, as you and I talked in the beginning about digital emotions, I believe that the internet allows people to gather when they have a common nostalgia, and that nostalgia between quote is being homesick. So being an immigrant to the United States, having been here over 20 years. I do get homesick, as well as many of the people I have met from Morocco. And one day I had this idea of building a virtual village, which that's what El Qaria means, a village. And I wanted to make sure that while using the internet and the digital medium, to keep it as traditional as possible. So I've utilized the traditional language as well as traditional imagery and ways of communicating online to create as close as possible an experience of being back home, to allow my friends and the people I have never met to actually get a taste of being back home for a few minutes while they're online, and to forget about or to alleviate from the nostalgia and being homesick. That's the project of El Qaria, and the experience so far has been very positive. I think it can be translated and transposed to many other cultures and countries. I think we could have an Argentine village. We could have a French village. We could have an Indian village, or, as a matter of fact, an American village for Americans stationed overseas, be it in the Middle East or in Europe or somewhere else in the world. Where we give them this very traditional, let's call it your next of the woods type of website, where it almost smells like Motherhood and apple pie, like we say here in the States. So that's what I try to do with El Qaria, and we could, and I'm thinking about replicating this idea for other countries.
Well, it sounds like even going to El Qaria, I agree with you, just. A very beautiful experience, and it's interesting that you are you're expanding on this online digital emotional connection. I really like that. That's very interesting. And the internet is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It has created a small enough world for us to be able to communicate with each other in instant time, which is just an amazingly profound thing. Anyway, our children are growing up online. Our businesses are online. This is the global communicative process in action. And I think that's wonderful. We have a caller, Kristen from Massachusetts on line 3. Kristen, you have a question for Dries?
Yes. I was wondering if there's any events going on in the United States.
If I understood correctly, if there were any events taking place in the United States?
Yes, Dries.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, our plans are definitely to hold fundraisers here in the United States and Canada. We would like to take the first 3 months of 2008 to continue raising awareness. I think the fact that we are tonight on a radio show is a very positive sign that the world is listening, and we would like to continue doing that for the next few months. So by the second quarter of 2008, we are ready to start organizing some local events in places like Chicago, like New York City, like Los Angeles, and probably Montreal in Canada, and do a fundraising where we'd like to use that the money that we will get from these events to actually gain access to some advertising spaces, like maybe the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, or maybe advertise in Europe, in France, or some of the countries where we believe pedophiles are leaving from those locations to go to Morocco to commit these crimes. And hopefully that will go on for 2 quarters, and we'd like to hold, again, as I said before, a march, what we call the White March, a concert in Morocco toward the end of this year.
So the White March is actually a project that you have ongoing right now.
That's correct. For those familiar with the Moroccan history, the previous king held what's called the Green March. It was a brilliant political move to reclaim a territory that was under the control of Spain back a few years back. And we felt that a good name for what we want to do is a White March, you know, a Green March, because we really would like the world to join us under this white statement of purity. Children are associated with the color, with the white color, of because of their purity, and we don't want to change that. So there is our goal, and that's what we want to do, hopefully, by the end of this year.
Well, that's a beautiful metaphor, and you're absolutely right. Children are synonymous to purity, and they are the salvation of, they can be the salvation for our future, or they can be the terrorists of the future. I suppose it's all in the hands of the adult world that has taken the lives of these young and innocent children and either empower them with a remarkable imagery of what other cultures can hold for them, or they can defile them with rape and violence, and then we wonder why children grow up angry.
Correct, Basima, and I would like to add the following, and again, it goes back to the previous topic of the internet. It is amazing to me how humans, the society in general, has not evolved from the Stone Age. I mean, we have progressed in every sense of the word when it comes to industry, when it comes to our, I will say, way of life and the modern way of life, the progress we see in every in transportation, in communication, so forth, so on. Yet, crime has not evolved or has not disappeared. We are still, as we did back in the caves, we steal, we kill, we cheat, we lie, and we abuse. And while the technology evolves and the channels of communications evolve, the crimes remain the same, and all they find their way through these new channels. So the same way we abused children hundreds of years ago, we're still abusing them today over the internet. And it is amazing to me how human beings don't evolve when it comes to the negative side of evolution. We evolve and we progress in technology again and making our life much more comfortable. But in crime, we still are, I would say, prehistoric. And so I hope that there is going to be a time where crime will disappear, especially with children. I think the fact that we abuse children or we commit crimes
against the children. It is committing crime in our vital system. It is eliminating our future, literally, because these are the people. These are the people that will replace us. This is the generation that will replace the one that exists today.
You can call toll-free internationally at 1-877-489-6350 to talk to Dries or have any questions. Dries, you said that, earlier that you were a totally obsessed with marketing man. So you sleep and you wake up marketing. How is El Qaria, SOS Marketing, SOS Morocco, figuring into a global marketing scheme? Well, and I hate to use the word scheme, I'm sorry, plan, for all of your projects, really. Do you have advertising that you sell on any of the sites?
No, I don't. My projects are again, I'm someone who came to this country with nothing, and I believe that the United States has given me so much, where I decided to give back. I truly believe that we are here for a reason as people, as humans, and it is not to generate wealth, and that's it, but it is to generate wealth and to give back to those that don't have so that you can better their life and give them an opportunity to better themselves. My projects are related to that. This is my way of giving back to society, to giving back to the world, and it continues. I'm about to launch a new project, which is called 361 Degrees Institute, and this new project is going to be about mentoring and helping people improve themselves, be it their interpersonal skills or develop their careers or their personal life into what they want to see. So I continue to give back to society. I'm not interested to generate money from this, but if I can generate a friendship, if I can generate an opportunity for someone, then I feel that that pays me back.
We have a question from Lindsay from Iowa. Lindsay would like to know, Dries, how children are generally getting involved in this. Do their parents force them? Are they kidnapped? What is the most common practices in involving these children?
Well, let me answer that from a global perspective. Let me tell you how, from my research, what I've learned. The child sex tourism issue is clearly linked and related to poverty, and also to I will say a lack of social reforms and human rights. Starting with poverty, there are many families that are forced, and you'll be surprised what all of us throw on a daily basis as leftovers or excess of food or anything that you can imagine is actually a luxury in many countries. I know for those of us that were born in emerging markets, this is obvious, but you'll be surprised how many people in my country, the United States, for them this is just unheard of. So poverty is a strong linkage to child sex tourism. The parents are aware. Sometimes they force their children to sex tourism because it brings money home, and the money it brings ends up saving the family. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, if this is the only mean that probably the youngest child in the family can get milk or food for a sister or clothes for another brother. So these are extreme conditions. And again, on the other hand, there are issues with social reforms where in certain families, the lack of education and supervision tend to force children sometimes to prostitute themselves for getting pocket money or for competing with the fashion of how their friends are dressed or the luxuries that they see but they cannot afford. And most of the times you find these being teenagers in some of these societies. And the third one is lack of human rights. I mean,
the fact that in some places, abusing a child or sex tourism is actually something normal. I mean, you walk in the streets and children are literally displayed in showcases and in brothels where
really, that's the, I found that to be interesting. And does the government have any control over these kinds of brothels or displays?
Well, this is the case that I'm describing is clear in Asia. I mean, I've watched so many videos in Asia where literally, I mean, the whole the police, the government, everybody's in it. Fortunately, this is not the case in Morocco because culturally and the religion does not allow such a thing to happen. But we don't want this to get to that point. I mean, unfortunately, globalism not only brings free trade and free flow of money, but globalism brings free diseases and free flow of crime. And so the fact that you see factories and offshoring taking place in some of these countries in emerging markets brings many business people who think is a sport or it's a hobby to go and sleep with a child for $20 or $30. And they're normal people. They're married and have children. And yet, when they're on these business trips, you see them with a 15-year-old girl. Like, that's not an issue. And we're not talking about pedophiles and disturbed sex criminals. I'm talking about businessmen taking business trips. So it is globalism with its worst. And we are exporting a lot of social diseases to these countries where we are offshoring.
Absolutely. We have Bushra from Miami on line 4. Bushra, your question for Dries, please.
Yes, hi. First of all, I would like to say, as a Moroccan, I'm very, very proud of Dries, and we all thank him for his efforts. And my question is, we know that as Moroccans here, there's a lot of things we can do. We can raise awareness and donations. What about people in Morocco? What can they do? What can, like, my family do to help these children?
Well, I think the best thing for us to do right now is to first say that the problem exists. You will be surprised that because of tradition and taboos and religion and culture, these problems stay under the lid. And families are ashamed to speak up. I was very proud and very excited to see marches and in Morocco about this issue, people going out to the street and talking about it to the media. And I think we need to do more of that. So I think the fact that people will start to talk about it over the dinner table, if this becomes a topic at home, during the family gatherings, breaking the taboos where it makes sense, meaning let's not hide problems like this, let's talk about them, and let's help the authorities, because if no one reports these issues, if someone knows that it happened to a neighbor, we need to tell our neighbors to go and report the issue. If we know it happened to a friend, we need to support our friend and tell them to go and speak up. We need to encourage people to speak out about the issue. And I think that's the best thing we can do right now. Take it one step at a time. We don't want to walk too fast and create a bigger issue, which is oppressing and reprimanding these kind of initiatives. And taking it a step at a time in such a young stage is the right way to do it. So awareness and breaking the taboos, speaking out, and then eventually we'd like to start organizing local programs, educational programs, mentoring programs, psychological support program, therapy, so forth, so on, and get Americans and Europeans and Canadians, so forth, so on, to go to these countries and mentor these children as part of the social work. Another thing we need to globalize is the social work, big brother, big sister type of programs. We need to socialize the good things we have in this country, in the United States. We need to globalize those, not the bad things like child pedophiles and child sex tourism. We need to globalize our good programs such as those I mentioned.
Well, you know, I have one more question, and to ask you briefly from Mesta, from Sue, I'm sorry. And Sue wants to know from Massachusetts, does your organization have chapters around the country and where are they? And then after that we'll be, we're going to have to wrap this up. This is just such a fascinating discussion, Dries, and you're very well informed. I thank you very much. Talk to us about chapters around the country.
Well, it is a dream of mine that by the year 2009 we will create international chapters. I believe that the Internet allows us to have these dialogues across the nation without having to create physical presence in different states in the country by going to www.sosmorocco.org. You can join as a volunteer from anywhere in the United States, as a matter of fact, from anywhere in the world. But we would like to have local chapters where we feel we need to apply pressure to local government so that these pedophiles are not allowed to leave their countries, or to raise awareness so that hopefully we can touch a pedophile's heart or a sex abuser's heart. And by showing the horrible crimes that they commit, and I will include into the list the businessmen that do travel to these countries and commit these horrible crimes, hopefully we will touch their hearts and tell them that the child they abuse today is a criminal that will end up hurting them in the future, be it a terrorist or any type of criminal. And as a matter of fact, it can happen to any one of our children. For those that have children, this is something that we do not wish to anyone. And again, we would love to have more.
Well, this has just been wonderful. I want to tell you how much we appreciate having you here. We would like to have you back, hopefully after the White March in Morocco. Dries Temsamani, and for those of you that are interested in working on these projects, SOS Morocco, El Caria, and feel free to go and donate and be part of the future. Thank you very much for being with us this evening, everyone. Next week's show, John Nichols. You're most welcome. It was a pleasure. John Nichols, a pioneering political blogger, has written the online beat since 1999, and he will be our next guest. We also will be having tomorrow night Congressman Robert Wexler at 8:15 Eastern, and next week Bill Shaheen, who is the national chairman for the Hillary Clinton campaign. I personally met Bill, and looking forward to speaking with him. Thank you very much, and have a great night. Peace, and do the right thing.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of death, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah,
hi, this is singer-songwriter Robin Avery. It's a privilege to be on BBS Radio. You've been listening to music from my new release, The Way